Let's turn tonight, please, again to the New Testament, this time to the book of Romans. The book of Romans and the 10th chapter, Romans chapter 10. And we're reading together from the first verse of that chapter. Romans chapter 10, reading from verse number 1. Romans 10, verse 1. Let's hear the word of God. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh in this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. We will end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. It is that 13th verse that I want to look at with you tonight. A great text to any sinner. Wherever they are. Whoever they are. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A gospel preacher, you can take that text, you can run with it, you could go to the ends of the earth with it, wherever there's a sinner, and tell him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's unite our hearts in prayer, and all who know and love the Lord in the meeting, let's really pray in these moments and seek the Lord for his help that we need, and for his grace and for his power, even to be known and felt in this meeting. Let's all unite our hearts in prayer. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the stillness and the quietness of this meeting house, we approach again thy throne of grace. We bless thee, we come before the one who is God. Beside him there is none other. We bow our heads. We worship before thy throne. We realize that before thy holy face, angels bow their heads and cover their faces and cry, holy, holy, holy. Therefore, O God, we come before thee, the one who art pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise, thou who art the Ancient of Days, thou who art the immortal, the invisible, the only wise God. We bow before thine omniscient throne. And O God, we come to thee and we proclaim again our great need of thee. And Lord, I confess before this gathered congregation, before thy throne, my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Empty me now of self and sin. Wash me completely in Jesus' blood. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. O God, grant that divine baptism. Grant that holy anointing that the Spirit of God alone does give. Close us in with thee. Bind the devil and every demonic influence. We pray, O God, that the blood of the Lamb will prevail. We stand under the victory of Christ's cross. We thank thee that the royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's brow. And into that victory now we stand by faith. And may this meeting go forward in the victory of the cross, the blood prevailing, and glory and honor being brought to Jesus Christ, in whose holy name we pray. Amen. As I've already said, I want to draw your attention to that 13th verse of Romans 10 where it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word saved in the text It just simply means to make or keep sound and safe. And dear unsaved in this meeting, that is what Christ does for the sinner. He makes and keeps them sound and safe. Not only in time, but for God's great eternity. Read the text like that. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be made and kept sound and safe. Not just for time, but for eternity. That was Paul's prayer for those that he knew, for those that he grew up with. Remember where Paul was brought up, the city of Tarsus? And here he writes in verse number 1, and look what he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Here you see the burden of this man's heart. For those that he knew, for those that he would remember in bygone days, Paul was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, that great Jewish scholar. And here's Paul's prayer. My heart's desire. There's his burden. And then that affects him, and he gets him to prayer, and he says, "And prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Dear unsaved, I want you to understand something in this meeting tonight. For half an hour, before this meeting started, men and women gathered in that little room to my right-hand side. Men and women gathered on Wednesday night past in this church. And they have prayed for sinners in these meetings, and their heart's desire and their prayer to God for you is that you might be saved. That's it. That's what they want for you. That's what Paul wanted for those that he loved, for those that he cared about. You really see the heart of the apostle. My heart's desire. It flowed from this heart of his that longed to see people saved. He says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We make no bones about that in this meeting tonight. You have come into this service without Christ. That's our desire. To see you saved. To see you won for Christ. Saved for time and for eternity. And I want to speak tonight on a message very simply that I have just entitled, Being Saved. And remember, keep in your head the whole way through this message what that word means. Made and kept sound and safe. Made and kept sound and safe. And dear sinner friend in this meeting, wherever you're from, whoever you are, that's what Christ can do for you right now. You don't have to wait to near the end of the meeting as we close the meeting. You don't need to wait till then. Right now, if you were to bow your head and your heart before God and call upon Him and ask Him to save you, in a moment of time, you'll pass from death unto life, from the power of sin and Satan unto God. In a moment of time, you'll be saved. You'll be safe in the arms of Jesus, as the old hymn said. You'll be made and kept sound and safe. Not just for time, but for all of God's eternity. So as this meeting goes on, you remember that. As we look at this message tonight, through this meeting, we saw this morning how the Holy Ghost deals with the sinner and brings trouble of soul. And let me just underline that again tonight. Trouble in your soul, concern about where you're going to spend eternity, those thoughts that go through your mind and your heart and trouble you about the thought of the judgment, about the thought of hell, those thoughts are the Holy Ghost dealing with your heart and drawing you for pardon, drawing you for forgiveness. So as this meeting continues, if you feel the Lord troubling your soul, don't even wait any longer. Don't wait to the end of the meeting. You may never see it. But immediately just come to Christ where you are in that pew. He'll save you in a moment. Depth of your heart lifted to heaven. Call upon Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. First thing I want to show you in the text is this. The people who need to be saved. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The people in view, obviously, in the setting, Paul is speaking to and writing to the Roman believers. But let's just take it for the whole setting. Here it is in Scripture, given to the church, to preach until Christ returns. The people in view are a world of sinners. Whosoever
out of a fallen race, out of a fallen humanity, that shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now maybe you say, what do I need to be saved from, preacher? Well, you need to be saved from the wrath which is to come for your sin. Because the Bible teaches there is wrath. There is punishment for sin. There's consequences of sin. Awful consequences. You see, Paul here, as I have already said, is speaking of people that he had grown up with, that he had known. But he's telling us about them. Because look what he says about them in verse number 2. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness. The people that Paul desired to see saved here, they were ignorant of God's righteousness. They were trying to get to heaven on their own efforts, by their own means. That's what they were trying to do. Paul says they're ignorant of God's righteousness. They're trying to establish their own merit with God without Christ. Dear people in this meeting, there is only one righteousness that God accepts. It's not yours and it's not mine. It's the righteousness of Christ. And Paul says here, as he speaks of these people, he speaks of those who are rejecting God's way of salvation found in Christ, and they're trying to get to heaven and please God by their own works. You see, the Jewish people were very religious, and they still are to this day. You go to Israel, you will see them there at the Wailing Wall, and they'll stand there and they'll wail, and they'll supposedly pray. And there they are at that Wailing Wall. And they're supposedly praying. But they're going about to establish their own righteousness. Because they reject Christ to this day. Religious, yes. But their hope for heaven was not according to knowledge. You see, Christ didn't suit the lifestyle of the Jews. That's what was wrong. If Christ had come and trampled down the Romans, the Jews would have accepted them. Christ didn't suit their lifestyle. Oh, give them a Messiah that will trample down the Romans. They'll accept them. They'd have accepted them immediately. But don't give them a Messiah that comes and deals with their hypocrisy, that comes and deals with their sin, and tells them they're of the father of the devil. That's what the Lord told them. They didn't accept him. They wanted a Messiah that was the figment of their imagination. And therefore they rejected Christ. Their Messiah in their minds was someone who would come and trample down the Romans and set up a great kingdom in Israel. Christ did not come to do that. I was over in Israel a few years ago, and I was talking to one of those men down at the Wailing Wall. And he said to me, Christ could not have been the Messiah. Couldn't have been the Messiah. I said, how do you work that out? He said, look at the Holocaust. 6 million Jews perished. And he said, Christ was meant to come and bring peace. That's what he said, the Messiah would bring peace. I said, the Messiah did bring peace. But he didn't come to bring peace between man and man. He came to bring peace between God and man. And dear unsaved in this meeting tonight, there's what Christ will do for you. He'll give you peace with God, the one that you've offended time without number, by your sin. Paul bears these people record. They had a zeal for God, but it wasn't according to knowledge. They were religious. They had this zeal. And Paul said it wasn't according to knowledge. In other words, their hope for heaven wasn't according to that book. That's what Paul was saying. Now let me say something on that. Could I be addressing one tonight in this meeting? And your hope for heaven is not according to that book. Maybe you say, I have lived at the Free Presbyterian Church for 40 years. It'll never get you into heaven. You're not one inch nearer heaven, if that's what you're depending on, than the poor benighted Roman Catholic around that corner. Not one inch nearer. Because Christ's the way to heaven.
not the free church. Paul says, I bear them record. Oh, they're religious. They have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. You see, whenever you begin to ask yourself a few questions, and sinner, you need to ask yourself questions. You need to ask yourself just for these moments in this meeting tonight, have I peace with God? Am I saved? How do I stand before God? How does God see me? There's a good question to ask yourself. Right now in this meeting, how does God see me? And whenever you open the Bible, you will come and you will find the answer to that. But when you open this Bible, you'll come face to face with your sin. And that's exactly what you need to do if you're ever to be saved, if you're ever to have peace with God. You need to see yourself as God sees you. You need to see yourself as a lawbreaker, having broken the law of God. Let's just go to Psalm 51. If you have a Bible, turn to Psalm 51. If you don't worry. Just listen, I'll read it to you. Psalm 51 and verse number 5. Here's David. And he's speaking about his birth, his conception in the mother's womb. And look what he says in verse 5. Behold. Now when you see that word behold in the Bible, it means stop, it means pause. And then wait till you see after that word. So behold, we stop. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. There's original sin. There's how David entered this world. And there's how each one of us entered this world. In sin. Cut off from God. You know that wee word again, behold. Behold. The Lord's saying, don't miss this. Why is it so important you don't miss that? Because, dear sinner friend in this meeting, if you never understand how you entered this world, you most certainly won't go out of it properly. You have entered this world guilty. Entered this world in sin. Entered this world in Adam. Entered this world cut off from God. Here's original sin. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. Sin did my mother conceive me. Bible says, all have sinned. All we like sheep have gone astray. There's no man that sinneth not. How does God see you? A lawbreaker. Guilty. Cut off from him. Oh man, woman, understand this in this meeting. Your plight tonight is fearful. Because the God of heaven says, you come into this world unsaved. You come into it cut off from me. And to this moment, out of Christ, you're still cut off. Now, I can speak to one here, and I don't know this congregation. But I can speak to one here tonight, and maybe you're on in years. And you know you're still not saved. You need to understand something, that to this moment in your life, you have never had communion with God, ever. Never. You're cut off from him. You've always been cut off from him. You've been a breath from hell your whole earthly existence. In your sin. Guilty before God. In trouble with God. Your sin a transgression of his law. Your sin an attack on his goodness and his mercy and his love. Your sin flowing from a heart that within that heart has the abiding presence of evil. That's what the Bible teaches. Sin is not absence of goodness in the life. Sin is the abiding presence of evil in the heart out of which we commit wicked acts. That's what sin is. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Out of that heart flows every sin. Because remember this, before the sin was committed, the actual act of it, the sin was in the heart. It was in the heart. The heart is deceitful, Christ said, above all things, desperately wicked. Sin, what has it done? What has sin done in our world? There's a question. Caused hell to be necessary. Breaks every home ever was broken. Brought a third of the angelic host out of heaven, made them devils. Were it not for sin, death would never have had a beginning. Drunkenness, swearing, lying, taking God's name in vain. Sabbath desecration. Unbelief. Adultery. Murder. I'm just going down the law here. Idolatry. Having other gods before God. Sin. Let me tell you what else is sin. Walking out of a gospel meeting without Christ. That's sin. The gospel message is not take it or leave it. The gospel message is repent ye and believe the gospel. You take the whole scene of a gospel message. Across this country of Northern Ireland tonight, gospel preachers will stand. They'll address congregations. They'll bring a word from that holy book. They'll tell them what God demands of the sinner. They'll tell them how they can be saved from their sin. And across this land tonight, men and women and young people that have heard that message will rise from the pew, having been commanded to come to Christ, and they'll rise and they'll leave and they'll say, I'm not coming. I tell you, it's sin. It's an act of defiance against the Almighty. Sin. See how this book reveals sin, and how the word of how the world looks at sin is two completely different things. You won't read this in the paper. You want to see what sin is, dear people, you open that book. Sin's an attack upon God, His holiness, His goodness. What's the end of sin? What's the end of sin? The end of sin is the fires of hell. Great white throne of judgment. Accountability to the God you've sinned against, time without number. Man, woman, young person in this meeting without Christ, whenever you're counting the cost of sin, you count it with eternity in view. Understand this. Every one of us in this meeting meets God. Every one of us. Some of us will meet God as our Savior and will bow before Him, lost in wonder, love and pray. Others will meet Him as judge. But be not mistaken, every one of us meets God. It's disobedience, sin. It's against God. It's guilt. It's breaking of God's law. It makes life volatile. Nobody knows when it ends. That's what sin does. Sin, unsaved friend, understand this. Sin makes every day potentially your last day. Because as by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. And death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death, the grave, eternity, it's all the offspring of sin. That's what sin has done. Yes, it brought a third of the angelic host out of heaven. Made them devils. People need to be saved, a world of sinners. By your sin, let me say something else about it. By your sin, you're an enemy of God. Sins of the devil. He that committeth sins of the devil, that's what the Bible says. Sin causes God to hate man. Sin makes the sinner a candidate for God's wrath. It brings you, makes you subject to the miseries of this life and the pains of hell forever. Sinner, understand this. You are in trouble tonight with God. I wish I could make that so clear. You're in trouble with God. You're cut off from Him. And if you die without Christ, you'll be eternally cut off. Eternally cut off. And there will never be a moment in eternity when God will forgive you for what you've done. Because you've died unforgiven. You've died without Christ. You've died never saved. And heaven to you is a closed door. Sinner friend, in this meeting, I urge you to stop right now. Ask yourself, how does God see me? How does God see me? Where will I spend eternity? You need to ask yourself that. Because you're going into it. You're going into eternity. I'm going into eternity. We'll either be with Christ or we'll be in hell without Him. But you need to ask yourself right now in this meeting, as we sit before God for a mere few moments, you need to ask yourself, for the sake of your soul, where am I going? Am I saved? If I die right now, where does it take me? Will it take me into that celestial city whose building and maker is God? Or will it take me into the caverns of the damned to be eternally and everlastingly under divine fury for my sin? Oh, the day of accountability comes. You see, the book of Job, it speaks about men being deceived on a little matter. God says, because men see apparently that God doesn't deal with men's sin immediately, men falsely come up with this conclusion, I've got away with it. Sinner, you won't get away with it. Because you'll meet God on it. And John, as he looked into heaven, there in the book of the Revelation, and he saw the white throne, and he said this, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And what is that book? It's the book of everything you have ever done, said, or thought. Written down. Sinner, there's only one way to get that account cleared from you, and that's the blood of Christ. That's the blood of Christ. Who needs to be saved? A world of sinners. A world of sinners. The person who saves, look again at the text, Romans 10:13. For whosoever, there's the world of sinners, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. See, in this 10th chapter of Romans, we have the Savior given three names. Look at verse number 4 with me. There he's referred to as Christ. For Christ is the end of the law. Look at verse number 9 with me. Then if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now mark that word. There's the name Jesus. And then verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now Christ, the name Christ, it speaks of Messiah. Now I want you to get this. The name Christ speaks of Messiah. It means he was sent to save. The name Jesus, it speaks of his ability to save, the purpose he came into this world was to save, and the word Lord, it speaks of his right or his authority to save. Now, dear sinner, we have painted a picture in the opening moments of this meeting of the darkness of sin and where it's taken you. Well, here's this. That world of sinners, Paul tells them, whosoever out of shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The name of the Lord, there's his authority to save. Jesus means it was his purpose to save. The name Christ means he was sent to save. And therefore, sinner, in this meeting, understand this. Jesus Christ is all you need tonight. He's all you need. And there's only one way that you're not going to be in heaven. There's only one way that you're going to perish, and it's this. If you say, preacher, no! No, preacher! I want of Christ! Then, friend, you perish. You perish. Because whosoever calls upon the name of Jesus Christ will never perish. You see, sinner, what really the question is in every gospel meeting is this. And it's the same question that was put
to the mob in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? How you answer that question, it'll determine how you die. It'll determine where you go when you die. We are dealing with matters tonight, eternal. Matters that are serious. Matters, sinner, that aren't going away. Here you are again in below the gospel preaching. You've sat under maybe the Reverend Stuart now for months. Sat under the Reverend David Linden for years, and here you are tonight, still not saved. And the gospel message comes again: whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen now. There's coming a night, and God knows when it is, when you are going to hear your last gospel sermon. It always happens. For those in Noah's day, we all know the story of Noah and the ark. Noah was a preacher. He preached and he preached and he preached and he preached and he more preached until God said, Noah, come in to the ark. And all outside had heard their final sermon. Never preached to again. Never again, sinner, if you die out of Christ, will you hear a man stand in a pulpit. But I tell you, the memory of the damned in hell, of the Reverend David Linden standing in this pulpit year in, year out, preaching to your soul. The Reverend David Stuart standing before you week by week, of a mother's tears, of a father's prayers for your soul, I tell you, it'll torment your soul forever. Those words will flood your mind in the caverns of the damned, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, there they were, a world of sinners, that whosoever believeth, and I didn't believe, should not perish, and I am perishing, but have everlasting life, and I'll never have it. I tell you, sinner friend, in this meeting, there's coming a day you're going to hear the last sermon. That's exactly what God said to Noah. Come into the ark. They've heard their last sermon. What a privilege it is to hear a sermon about how you can be saved. How you can escape the fires of eternal hell. How you can escape abiding under divine fury for everlasting days. Never ending. It's all found in the blessed person of the text. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, there's his authority to save you. God gave him the authority. Jesus, there's his ability to save. Call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. Christ means Messiah. Sent one. God sent him to save. And sinner, there's only going to be one way you end up perishing forevermore, and it's if you reject Jesus Christ. Something else in this portion I want to show you. We see that he saves by his name. We also see it in his work. Look at verse number 4 with me of Romans 10. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Before any man or woman enters heaven, they must have a righteousness that is perfect. And they must have their sins forgiven. Again, it's all found in Christ. Romans 10 verse 4 can literally read this. Christ is the fulfiller of the law for righteousness. The law, there's the moral law, the Ten Commandments. Why did Christ fulfill that law? He fulfilled it, and he obeyed it, because there's not a sinner in this place can obey it. perfectly. But God demands perfect obedience to it. Christ obeyed it. Christ fulfilled it to provide a righteousness for all who need it and for all who come to Him. And then look at verse number 9. Because there it takes us to the cross and the resurrection. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. There's the cross. There's His death. There's His crucifixion. What's the Lord showing us? In this portion, verse 4, there's a righteousness, there's a life of perfect obedience that'll cover all your guilt. Verse 9, there's the resurrection. Resurrection from the dead. Pointing us back to that cross where sin was paid for, where blood was shed, and God the Father raised Christ from the dead to show to a world of sinners, I have accepted the payment of my Son as a payment for sin. My law is honored. My justice is satisfied. My wrath and fury has been turned away to all who come to Christ. Sinner, again, we're coming to it. There's only one way you're going to end up perishing. You say, preacher, I don't want Christ. I don't want Christ. I tell you, that is fearful. Christ has dealt with sin. Calvary knew that visitation of divine wrath. But sinner, I want you to understand this. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. But Christ, by His death, finished sin for all who trust Him. The work is finished. I was preaching down in Dublin about a year ago. I met this Roman Catholic woman. She said to me, I love the Mass. That's what she said to me. I love the Mass. I said to her, the Mass is a blasphemy. She said, how do you work that out? I said, it's because your church teaches that the Mass is a sacrifice for sin. I said, when Christ at that cross cried finished, I said, what was finished? And she stood there on Grafton Street and she thought. I said, what was finished? I said, the work of redemption. The payment for sin was finished. There needs to be no more payment. And suddenly in that woman's mind, as if a light was switched on. Now, I don't know what happened to her. But for the first time in her life, she realized the work was done. Now, sinner, again, let me say this. The work is done. But you need to trust Him. And if you do trust Him, hell is where you will never be. Never. Because out of the darkness of Calvary, arose that cry, finished. But listen, let me say this. In hell, and this book takes back the curtain at times and shows us into the fires of hell and shows us individuals that are there. And the Bible speaks about the wails. And the Bible speaks about the curses and the woes of those that are in hell. Listen, if you end up in hell, you will hear many words, you will hear many curses, but there's one word you will never hear. Finished. Finished. Because hell is the eternal, everlasting, never-ending outpouring of divine fury against the Christ rejecter. Oh yes, there's many words will come out of that place. One of them won't be finished. Because finished arose from Calvary. Finished the work of redemption. Finished the work the Father gave Him to do. Finished as Christ drank damnation dry for all who trust Him. Sinner, it's finished. The resurrection
Our Lord stood on all of it. He said to his disciples before he went back to heaven, "Go ye into all this world and preach the gospel." What's the gospel? The gospel is the message that Christ came into this world, put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, finished the work, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me say it again, sinner. The word saved, it means made and kept sound and saved. Luke 16, our Lord pulls back the curtain, shows us a man that went to hell, shows us a man that lost his soul. He was a farmer. There was much commendable about that man. I think whenever you read that narrative, you can say he was a hard worker. He'd had a good harvest. But a great delusion came upon that man's mind. He said, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Now, sinner, I want you to understand something, and I'm nearly finished. That man spoke to his soul that night, and something caused him to consider the subject of the salvation of the soul, because that's what he put on. He said, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years." Now, I don't know, was he in the synagogue? I don't know, was he speaking to an old godly saint in Israel? But something happened him that night. And something caused him to consider the salvation of a soul. And in the same night that farmer considered having his soul saved, he made a decision that cost him it. And before the morning light arose around his family, his soul was lost. Sinner, you're being caused by God tonight to consider the salvation of your soul. It's your soul. God gave you it. It'll live on forever. It's eternal. You're never ever going out of existence. 1,000 years from now, each person in this meeting will be somewhere. Each one of us. Conscious. Some will be in the glory. I tell you, I don't even want to say the alternative. I don't want to even say that some may not be in the glory. Oh man, woman, young person, make sure you're in the glory. Make sure you're in the glory. I don't care what you do in life. What your job, what your occupation, where it takes you. You make sure you're in the glory. You make sure we meet on that golden shore. Because in 1,000 years' time, and you multiply that as many times after that as you want, we will all consciously be someone. There's a day coming when there's a trumpet going to sound in heaven. Jesus Christ is coming back with his angel train. And he's coming to gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. And at that day, the graves will open. There'll be a resurrection unto life. There'll be a resurrection unto damnation. And from that moment on, body and soul will either be with Christ or be perishing. Yes, understand this. The soul of that man in Luke 16 will abide under divine torment in hell until a trumpet sounds in heaven. At that moment, his soul will come out of hell. His body will rise from wherever it's buried. A complete person, body and soul, he will stand for the final judgment. And then body and soul return to the fires of the damned. Man, woman, and Portland and free tonight, none of us are going out of existence. We're alive tonight, and we're alive forevermore. But each of us will change our abode at a moment set by God Almighty. Death will come if the Lord tarries to each of us. We'll be ushered out into God's eternity. I say it again, friend. I say it to every unsaved soul in this meeting, and we're so glad you're here. There's only one way you won't be in heaven. You reject Christ. You come to Him. You don't need to be a theologian. Christ came to save sinners. You come to Him, repentance toward God, turn from the sin. Embrace Jesus Christ freely offered in the gospel. I tell you, you'll be saved. The people in the text that need saved, a world of sinners. The person in the text that saves our Lord Jesus Christ, finally as I close, the promise of the text. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's the promise. And it's a promise, sinner, that God has given you right now. He'll save you in a moment. The word call, it denotes action. It's a verb. It denotes action. Action required of you. Come to Christ. Step out in the promise. Get under the blood. Oh, sinner friend, understand this. Here we're looking at this glorious message. I think this would be quite possible. In fact, I believe it with all my heart. I would say right now in this meeting, there's a battle and a soul, or maybe many a soul. And right now in your heart, you know everything this Bible says is right. And right now in your heart, you know in 1,000 years' time, you're going to be somewhere. Right now in your soul, a battle rages. And it rages. And maybe in your heart tonight, in your mind right now, you're thinking, what about this? What about the other? What about the other? If I come to Christ, how will I deal with all that? Sinner, listen to me. You come to Christ tonight, and you trust Christ for tomorrow and for your future. And He'll guard you, and He'll guide you, and He'll lead you, and He'll keep you. Because the word saved means made and kept, sound and safe for time and for eternity. The Lord's not going to save you tonight, sinner, and leave you on Monday morning when you have to go to work. He's not going to save you tonight, young person, when you have to, and leave you tomorrow morning when you need to get into school, university. He's not going to do it. He's going to save you tonight, and He's going to keep you till the river rolls its waters at your feet. And then He's going to bear you safely over. Made by grace. For glory made. Tell you, there's only one way you're not going to be in heaven. You reject Christ. But why would you reject Him? Why would you reject one that says, Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out? Why would you reject one that tells you His blood will wash you from all of your sin, all of your guilt?
Why would you reject him? One of the brethren was praying in the prayer meeting before the meeting. Heaven was opened for sinners. That's who inhabits heaven. Right now in heaven, there's the souls of drunkards. There's the souls of the immoral. There's the souls of any sinner you want to name. But in time they came to Christ, weary and worn and sad. They washed and were clean. And for them death came. Death ushered them into the presence of God and the Lamb. My dear unsaved friend, whosoever, that's you, shall call upon the name of the Lord, the one sent to save, the one that came to save, the one that was appointed by the Father to save, whosoever calls upon him will be saved. Let's go back to the battle in your mind as I close. Every thought in your mind right now that tells you to put this off again is from Lucifer. That's where it came from. That's who's putting it there. Because Lucifer hates God. He hates Christ. He hates the Holy Ghost. He hates the gospel meeting. He hates the gospel preacher. He hates the Christian that he's lost. And every thought in your mind is that he doesn't lose you. That's what he's doing. Because he knows just a little love. And I've got him. Because he too knows. At a moment set by God Almighty, each one of us is going to die. And he seeks to just get the sinner put it off a little longer. Because that little longer always runs out. My sinner friend, in this meeting, what I'm showing you is what that Bible teaches. The battle that rages for the soul. But you need to come to Christ. Step out in the promise. Reject those thoughts in your mind that tell you to put it off. Come to Christ. He's here tonight. I believe the Holy Ghost is dealing with souls. Just step out and promise. Get under the blood. Very soon we're going to sing our closing hymn, a couple of verses of it. It was written by a woman called Charlotte Elliott. Today in Charlotte Elliott's life, when a preacher called at her home, said to Charlotte Elliott, "Do you ever think about spiritual matters, Charlotte?" She says, "None of your business." The preacher backed off. He didn't say anything more. A couple of weeks later, he met her down in the village. She went over to that old preacher and she says, "Preacher, I would very much like to apologize for my rudeness the other day." She said, "I would very much like to be saved, but I don't know how." The old preacher says, "Charlotte, just come as you are. Sinner tonight in this meeting, just come as you are." That Charlotte Elliott was saved at 33 years old. Took a pen later in life and wrote, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And as thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Sinner, will you come to me?" As the Lamb of God that died for sinners bids you come, will you come? Go come to him now. May God give you grace to come. Because whosoever comes shall be saved. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. And just then the stillness of these moments. If there is one here and the Lord has spoken to you tonight, don't go away. There's a minister's room on my right hand side through that door. Speak to some of the elders, they can point you there. Or say to me at the door, I would like to speak to you, it would be my joy. Sinner, let's all meet in heaven. There's only one way you're not going to be there. You reject Christ. But come to Him tonight. Father, take Thy word. Apply it savingly to many a soul. Even many that have sat maybe for years under gospel preaching in this house. God, hear prayer. Save, we plead. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 289,
just as I am without one plea.